I have been one of the lucky ones who's been able to attend church and feel very humble to be able to do these services online. So please, wherever you may be, let's all come together in praise. This indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life. And I will raise them up on the last day. Alleluia. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. He has given us new life and hope. He has raised Jesus from the dead. Alleluia. Faithful one, whose word is life, come with saving power to free our praise, inspire our prayer, and shape our lives for the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ, risen Master and triumphant Lord, we come to you in sorrow for our sins and confess to you our weakness and unbelief. We have lived by our own strength and not by the power of your resurrection. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. We have lived by the light of our own eyes as faithless and not believing. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. We have lived for the world alone and doubted our home in heaven. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. May the God of love and power forgive us and free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen.
Risen Christ, your wounds declare your love for the world, and the wonder of your risen life. Give us compassion and courage to risk ourselves for those we serve. To the glory of God the Father.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. The angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A reading from the first letter of John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and to testify the Father has sent his Son as the Saviour of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he loved us first. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this. Those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Alleluia. Alleluia. You did not choose me, but I chose you, says the Lord. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me, and I in them, bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Some few years ago, Heather and I enjoyed a wonderful holiday in Portugal in a lovely villa in the Northern Vineyard area where the wine called Matias Rosé was produced. They maintained immaculately tended vineyards against the rolling hills of the village where we were situated, and we learnt a little about vines and their needs. Apparently, during winter, the vine enjoys a prolonged period of inactivity after the rigours of carrying and ripening a harvest of grapes, and one of the greatest miracles of nature is the annual transformation of the barren, black-stumped, midwinter vineyard into the luxuriant, juicy green jungle that is a field of vines in the summer. We were told that if it is to produce an abundant crop, the vine requires a good deal of tender care. The single most important job to be done before the sap rises is pruning, which is a skillful and expensive operation. The old growth must be cut back and the new shoots tied in preparation for the fruit that they shall bear in due time. And the skill of the vine grower is quite remarkable. With a few knowledge careful snips of the secateurs, he can determine not only the shape of the vine, but also the number of bunches each vine is going to produce during the growing season. He knows when to prune and when to leave alone, recognizing which growth is going to produce a fine crop and that which shows potential. In our gospel reading this morning, we heard Christ telling us of this beautifully striking image of the vineyard when describing the intimate nature of the relationship between himself and his disciples. I think he is saying that his followers are to be so closely united with him as to share his ideals, attitudes, and concerns. The vine, with its life-giving energy, is a vibrant and dynamic image of the Christian community. Just as the branch is dependent on the vine for food and life and fruit, We are dependent on Jesus for nurturing our holy life and spiritual sustenance. Again and again, John's Gospel returns to the theme of belonging, emphasizing the profound oneness that exists between each one of us and Christ, who is our life. This theme is not dissimilar to the lifeblood that travels throughout our bodies and is distributed from our hearts. It spells out quite vividly the joined-up nature of our faith, growing through a regular life of sacrament, prayer, fellowship and worship, and these ingredients energize and cultivate Christ's harvest. There is even the added caution mentioned in the Gospel that to neglect to do so may result in everything being lost. Cut off from me, you can do nothing. And the Gospel indicates that as well as giving life, Jesus continues to sustain, support, and nourish those who work as members of his church. But we can easily forget that as branches of the same vine, we are also connected to one another and called to form a community of love. That is where the grape will get its juicy sweetness, its attractiveness, its loveliness, which will indeed be perfect, which will indeed be infectious. We all know that there are areas in our lives where there is dead wood, which, instead of producing new and more fruitful growth, is actually sapping our energy. We are so easily led astray, and we find ourselves thinking and acting in ways that are opposed to the Gospel. We sometimes, perhaps unwittingly, cause possible resentment, create a measure of coolness, and put up barriers among colleagues because we wanted something done our way. And then the only remedy is to allow some pruning and trimming, and taken back to our roots by the tender care of the divine gardener. And this may be a painful process, as shedding our selfish demands requires change, which is not always easy. Yet we can be confident in the knowledge that at our roots, which are our very core, we shall find God, who nourishes us and directs us towards growth in virtue. And we can be sure, however, that Jesus teaches emphatically that true discipleship consists in producing the fruit of good living. This is something that we cannot hide. We know it was thoroughly evident in the formation of the first Christian communities of the early church, as they struggled to live out faithfully the implications of their discipleship. It found expression in how they related to one another and in the care and concern they showed towards the sick and those in need. No less is expected of our age. So finally, in the New Testament reading this morning from that first letter of John, we have the perfect answer to dwelling in the vine, when John tells us that God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. There is the strength that enables fruit to grow in abundance.
Excelling joy of heaven to earth come down, fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, with thy son. liberty. Come, Almighty, to deliver. Let us all thy life receive. Suddenly return and never, never more thy temples leave. Thee we would be always blessing. Serve thee as thy host above. Pray and praise thee without ceasing.
Let us declare our faith in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised to life on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Afterwards he appeared to his followers and to all the apostles. This we have received, and this is what we believe. Amen. The risen Christ came and stood amongst his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." Then they were glad when they saw the Lord. Alleluia. The peace of the Lord be always with you,
and also with you.
To produce fruit, we need to be joined under the true vine. Let us pray to the Lord God Almighty, in whom we live and move and have our being. Father, we want to produce good fruit in abundance. Nurture us as branches of the true vine. Train and prune us where necessary, and may our spiritual harvest make rich wine. Wine of your kingdom. Your kingdom, let it come. Your will, let it be done. Father, clearly we see around our world the tragic and expensive consequences of branches cut off from the true vine. We pray for a seeking after your truth and a desire to act rightly and justly in all areas of human society. Your kingdom, let it come. Your will, let it be done. Father, we pray for those to whom we are linked, by family, friendships or work. Especially we pray for those separated from their loved ones or their home. Your kingdom, let it come. Your will, let it be done. Father, we long for healing and wholeness in all who suffer, and in all dysfunctional communities. Guide us to understand how we might be part of the healing. Your kingdom, let it come. Your will, let it be done. Father, we know that death cannot separate us from your love. In that knowledge, we commend to your keeping those who have died and all who miss them. At this time, we remember Norman Sowerby, Michelle Mitchison, Heather Oxley, Tom West, James Sampson, Edna Robson, and Barbara Ruth Clark. Your kingdom, let it come. Your will, let it be done. Father, we thank you that we can live in the joyful freedom of your love as we dedicate ourselves to serving others. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Gathering our prayers and praise into one, let us pray as our Saviour taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us new life and hope. He has raised Jesus from the dead. He has brought us out of darkness. God has claimed us as his own. He has made us light to the world. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God.
My soul.